Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the War Man Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the War Man. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode once a weekend. As I said before, I'm on a little bit of a streak. I'm going to do an episode once a week until the end of the year. That's my promise. Going to make sure I keep bringing you guys consistent kickboxing action. I might slow down a little bit Christmas week, but for the most part, I'm going to have content for you every single week. The other way to listen to the podcast is through the iTunes search engine. Just enter Lord Gaul or enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine and it pops right up. So, short episode this week, really just going to do some previewing as we get two cards going down. We've got a Glory card going down and we've got an Infusion card going down. I will go ahead and announce this. I was going to do it formally on Facebook on Monday, but for you listeners, you'll hear about it a little bit earlier. I have been officially announced as the U.S. talent scout for the Glory Kickboxing Company. I am grateful for it because for those of you who know me, I'm just a big-time kickboxing fan, and once upon a time, my hobby became my job as a trainer, and now my hobby is becoming my job as a person who finds talent. I've already been helping out Glory throughout the years. They've asked for individuals, or they ask me about people, and I'll send them names here and there, but for the first time, they actually did it in a structured, would you like to get paid manner, which is really, really cool. Thank you, Robbie Temmers. Thank you, Core Hemmers, for the guys who have given me the opportunity, and Remen as well on that staff. But I really want to do everything in my power to help kickboxing grow in the world and in the United States. So I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity. So when I break down cards, I'm going to still do what I usually do. I just won't have predictions if I do a kickboxing card for Glory, but I will do off of the action and the style matchup. So I'm never going to neglect what I'm doing. I'm never going to neglect my podcast because I love it dearly. I'm just going to change the makeup of how I do things, how I talk about things. So you're going to get an introduction to that on this podcast. I'm still going to start off with the Infusion card, which is a company that I don't work for, so I'm free to do whatever I want. The Infusion card that's going down, it's in Antwerp, Belgium. I guess I'm in, you know, two minds, as I mentioned before. The big news, of course, coming from this is Muhammad Jiraiya is fighting on this card. And, of course, you guys know, because I talked about it extensively, Muhammad Jiraiya attacked a ref after one of his fights. He's really upset. Some people online defended him. There is no defense for that. You cannot attack a ref. It's just something you can't do. I am the biggest Muhammad Jiraiya fan. I've been a fan of his since, you know, first seeing who he was, 16, 17 years old, when I saw him on Infusion Rookies. He's a talented kid, very talented. I think he's got a big future. I think that his weight class is bigger than I like, but he's still super, super talented. I don't agree with this. I think there should have been, I thought the suspension they gave was a bit too harsh, but I do think that there should have been something. I think a fine would have helped too, but it should have been stuck to whatever they're going to do. Now, again, the time they gave him, I thought, was just excessive and way too much. But I think that it's a bigger story that another country isn't recognizing the sanctioning restrictions put on by an opposite country. In this case, the Netherlands and Belgium. Here in America, for example, I had a friend who, he was in a boxing match, and the boxing match was canceled because his opponent had got stopped in the state before, 29 days before, and the restriction was 30 days. So he took the boxing fight even though he'd been stopped, and the state of Minnesota upheld the state of North Dakota, upheld their commission and didn't allow the fight to happen. So I thought that on an international stage that would happen. I've known it to happen with in K1 it happened. There was a situation where there was one of the athletes, I'm trying to remember the exact card, but someone was knocked out by Mighty Mo, and they were supposed to be in the K1 tournament, and then it was thought that K1 was going to use this individual anyways, but they honored the restrictions. You know, as Francois Botha was knocked out by Mighty Mo and he was going to be used in the K-1 Elimination Tournament, but because he was, and the dates were too close, he was still under suspension. People thought K-1 clearly does what they want there in Japan. They don't have to uphold it, and they did. So you usually expect that to happen in these situations. It did not. Jiraiya is still going to fight. Now, from a combat sports perspective, I want to see him compete. I think he's one of the best fighters in the world, and he's all entertainment. One of the best fighters in the world, by that I mean top 30 for his weight class. Clearly, there are a lot of guys, and I wouldn't put him in the top 10, but he's working towards that goal. And that doesn't get into the fact that 72.5 kgs is a really, really, it's not really a weight class. It's weight class in boxing. It's not really a weight class in kickboxing, but he is one of the better guys. So from that perspective, I do want to see him compete, and I'm excited that he's on this card. But from the other part of it, you do have to ask yourself, what is the value of commissions if people are just going to go over them, go out of state, go out of country? That shows up, and it makes you wonder, what happens if they do? What happens when his suspension is up in his home country? Does he get to come back and fight whenever he wants? So I thought the suspension was too long. I thought that they could have handled it a little bit differently. I think there should be some sort of ban. There should be some sort of fine. There should be an apology written in person, but it's a strange situation, and nevertheless, he's fighting this weekend. Let's go ahead and jump into the card now. We start off with Hasnoni Aloy. They take on Dali McBean of the Netherlands, and I'm excited to see this one because I haven't seen enough from both ladies to really give you guys a good breakdown. McBean's got some stuff online that I've seen a couple times. That's MC and then Bean, B-E-A-N. And then Aloy, whose name I've been messing up a little bit. I'm making it sound too Samoan. A-L-A-O-U-I from Morocco. Excited to see this one just because I want to see the next big female stars emerge in the kickboxing scene. Plus, at 67 kgs, much bigger weight class than you're used to seeing. So I'm excited to see what happens in this one. Yusuf El Hadji takes on Oliver Der Vater. Again, this one is a matchup of fighters that are really getting a showcase to kind of show their skill, and we're kind of going to see what happens when they compete, but I haven't seen enough from either to see how they're going to sustain on a high level. They are also at 67 kgs. I'm curious to see the back and forth. I've only seen them against regional B-class opposition, so I'm excited to see this step up out. We get into the Infusion League, which, good idea. The execution isn't what I would like. Just going on way too long. It's something that should have been done within a calendar year. That way it's easier to follow. Unfortunately for them, their biggest event seems to be in February. So it's almost like NASCAR for people who are into NASCAR racing. NASCAR's biggest race of the year is the first race. It's Daytona. That's the biggest race. So for Infusion, their biggest card is usually in February. All these years, we were used to K1 having their big tournament in July and then doing super fights outside for the max division. And for the heavyweights, the big one was in December, which was also in the summer at one period of time, and then moved to the end of the year. I think if they're going to continue this idea, which it doesn't seem like they are, they're already setting up a big tournament I'll talk about a little bit later to go down in November. But the thing with the Infusion League, which pretty much point-wise, Typhoon Oskin has already won, they just didn't give themselves the opportunity to get people to follow it and fall in love with it, fall in love with the characters, fall in love with the athletes, watch it, because it just went for just too long. It stretched too long a period of time. So we'll see what happens down the road, and hopefully people will, like the kickboxing action, they'll remember some of the fights because there were some awesome fights in it. And Typhoon Oskin really did take a strong hold in the tournament and make himself one of the better fighters in the world. So there were definitely good things that came from it. But right now, I feel like there should be buzz for the final. And I don't feel like there's buzz for how this thing's going to end. Nordman Mo takes on Diego Nueves, one of many changes to the tournament field. Nueves is all right. I think Nordin Benmo is going to beat him quite easily. Nueves will have some moments, but just Nordin Benmo, when he gets that offense going, does some sneaky stuff. I like how he uses his peel in a combination. He has the good step knees, has the vision to catch you in those odd spots. Nordin Benmo should win this one. Next, I've got Tayfun Askin beating Redan Larkoubi. Larkoubi isn't that he's a bad fighter. He's got the win over Muhammad Raya in the fight that I believe caused, you know, with the backlash and the ref incident. He's a talented guy. I wouldn't have picked him to beat Jiraiya. So when that win came his way, I had to step back and give him his due. But Tayfun Askin's got his number. Tayfun Askin's the best fighter in this tournament, or in this Infusion League. Very, very skilled. You take away that loss that he had in China, he's really had a great run. So want to see more Tayfun Askin as he secures the win of this league on points. Muhammad Jiraiya gets a opponent that, you know, who knows where he is mentally, but Yacine Beitar is talented and it's tough and it's going to push him, but he's not better than Muhammad Jiraiya. So we'll see what happens on fight night. We'll see who can execute, and that's kind of what comes down to. That's who wins both fights. Jiraiya's talented, man. He's really got every skill, and when he lets his offense go, he's as fun to watch as they come. I still feel he's in too big of a weight class. I feel like he could be smaller if he wanted to. Now, again, he's growing up, and most of when I saw him, he was 17, 18 years old, already champion for them at 18, 19. So I could be seeing it wrong, and maybe his body grew greatly, but I'm looking at his frame, and I go, man, you could easily be 54. And part of me wonders if he could do 47. You know, not saying that it's, you know, it's out of the way impossible, and he knows his body and his team knows his body, but I just think 72.5 kgs is him fighting bigger guys every single week. He's getting by on talent, but in the end, the physical size should wear him down, make it more difficult for him to win over longer rounds, but we shall see. Infusion World title on the line, Jafar Wilnes takes on Luis Tavares. Luis Tavares is an entertaining fighter who is a good card filler. He's going to get some good wins here and there. He's going to be good opposition. But Jafar Wilnes, to me, too skilled. One of my favorite things about Jafar Wilnes is this: the fact that he is, I talked about before, he was just a guy. He'd lost by head kick a couple times and just never showed consistency. And then all of a sudden, he put it together with a couple of trips to China and win some tournaments down that way. The big win over Andre Gruzmichuk. So, like, I've always, you know, liked him and his return to glory and, you know, doing well in those opportunities. Just some losses there for sure, but man, he's a good, solid, steady kickboxer who made himself a top five heavyweight in the world. This is a down era of heavyweights, but man, Wilnes really turned things around. I think he gets the win here. I will go as far as, I won't say stop it because I don't think that's his style of fighting, but I think that he'll be able to outpoint Tavares over a five-round period of time, maybe 4-1 in the rounds. Last fight I'm going to talk about is Moody Kamal, or Muhammad Kamal, as he takes on Supervon Becimek. Supervon is just elite right now. You know, he's the best 70kg fighter in the world. Muhammad Jiraiya wins this, that's going to be a shakeup. Some people are going to be upset with me. Some people prefer Glory Sitichai, but they met and Supervon won by stoppage. So Supervon's just winning. He's doing well. I don't see Muhammad Kamal landing consistent enough offense to beat Supervon. Just too slick. Enough of the Thai style to get away from consistent offense and also enough to land some big shots. With that said, if Kamal, you know, who's got some upsets here and there, if he can be, you know, Soya comes to mind, if he can be the right kind of aggressive in certain spots, he's going to win. And he is a talented guy, and Kamal has beaten Thais before, and some people have been upset with those decisions, but Muhammad Kamal can fight. Like, he's a talented guy, and I think that he can make a fight of this, but if you ask me who to pick, I think that Supervon is the better of those fighters, but Muhammad Kamal is just one of my favorites, and it's crazy, but I don't think he's that old. Like, I think Muhammad Kamal might be 25, 26, but he just got so good so fast, you know, the win over Kashinko years ago, that people forget that he's not an old guy. You know, he beat Robin van Roosmalen. I was there when that happened. He's been around for a while, having success for a while. He knows how to get scorecards on the ties. So we'll see what it leads to down the road, but I still lead for Supervon to win this fight. The Infusion League is putting together a tournament, and it's an 8-man tournament for $100,000. Of course, that, you know, raises everyone's eyes because that brings us a little bit closer to what we were used to in the 2000s with the Max tournament that got a big prize win at the end of the 8-man tournament. So far, the names that I have seen for the tournament are Tayfun Askin, Muhammad Jamal, and Jordan Watson. So that's going to go down in Dubai, or excuse me, in Abu Dhabi, if I remember correctly. Now, the only problem that I have with cards happening there is so far I haven't seen the best crowd reception. I worked a UFC fight out there, and I thought the crowd was okay, but not great. And there was still a lot of, I was surprised how many Brazilian people were there. I mean, Nogueira is really, really a star, you know, for his home country, because there were a decent amount of Brazilians out there in that country to see him fight. But as far as locals, I mean, they're very financially secure. It's got to be something that they'd want to be interested in, or else they'll skip it for the day. But when Badr Hari won the $1 million tournament that they put together for him, where he stopped Lecco and he stopped, Peter Graham, when he stopped both of those fighters, it was a very, very okay crowd. And then when Glory went out there, I thought the crowd was just not good, you know. So I'm hoping that if they put this tournament together, they really, really work on getting the local audience to come. So it's like, for those of you who know about the jiu-jitsu tournaments that they do in Abu Dhabi, those tournaments are split into 2 days. There's one with the international talent that's got, you know, your best grapplers in the world, and then there's another day where, or another time in the day, where it is the locals that do it. And if you're going to have any kind of success with selling, you've got to get the locals interested in it in some way. So we'll see what it becomes. But man, I'm telling you, even Gokhan Saki, who has relocated to that area, even he, when he competed, struggled to get an audience, to a big audience to sell out and look for him. It's just a different part of the world. So hopefully they put this tournament on. Hopefully they put it on somewhere we could see it. And in the end, I really, truly believe that it's going to be a good action-packed kickboxing card. But my fear is that we won't have that audience to appreciate it and push it forward. Because the way the crowd responds matters a lot. Watch some of those OK-1 fights. Shahid Al-Haj and Mike Zambides were fighting in Korea. People forget that. That big, great fight that they have that shows up on people's walls, that this is kickboxing. That fight that you see on people's Facebook walls, that fight that you hear about on social media, that fight stole the show and won a crowd over in Korea. So the action of kickboxing can do it, whether you're a hometown fighter or not. But you got to get them in the door. And in Korea, they got people in the door by saying the K-1 product is coming. The K-1 product from Japan is coming over. They had a couple of Korean athletes on it, but mainly it was the product that they were looking for, and they ended up putting on a great show. In that way, this infusion, as they fill out the rest of this card and as they fill out this undercard, we got to get local eyes to show up and see it. And then the kickboxing will take care of itself right afterwards. We'll go ahead and move right into the Glory card now. Start off with Ivan Denneberg as he takes on Wellington Uwiga. And Denneberg, who is just a really, really super tall guy. I think he's 6'5", I'm going off of the American measurements. Please forgive me because I don't quite have meters down. The height, I should say, down for international. Like I have weights down for international. So Denneberg is like 6'4", 6'5", and he will take on Wellington Uwiga. The thing with Uwiga, the Brazilian fighter, I watched him. I was not blown away. More of a points fighter in the fights that I saw. He kind of pushes with his punches sometimes, not really snap on the end of it. So I'm curious how much he's sharpened himself and gotten himself ready. But he's steady, and he was able to find offense on a consistent basis. So I'm definitely excited about seeing what he does in his first step of opportunity. Denneberg, more skilled by far. Tall, lanky, good combination flow, really sneaky with his knees. We're going to see how this happens. Will Wellington's pace be able to stop Denneberg from landing that sneaky offense, from being able to land those punches from the outside? Will he be able to kind of get into like a dry pace where he kind of, you're scoring offense, but he's just there. He's just there, and he finds his opportunity. So that's Wellington Uyghur's goal going into this, and Denenberg, of course, is looking to stay long, use the knees when Wellington comes in too close, and just be a guy who's grown up in a kickboxing atmosphere. Should be interesting to see how the styles work. The continuous growth of Tijani Bestati as he goes against Yad Kumpon, of course, has had some success in the... this one's at lightweight. I believe he's fought at a smaller weight the last time he competed. I could be wrong there. But he is a very talented Thai on the international scene. Bestati, it's going to be one of his tougher tests to go against the Thai style. We're going to see what happens. Yad Kumpon, of course, is going to look for the body kicks, look to work his boxing, and then the slick defense to kind of stay away. Bestati is going to use his length, very tall, about 6 feet. Like 6'1", 6'2", he's a tall guy. Use his volume and look for offense and spots. Try to build the combination kick flow, a simple combination kick flow. He won't build it into a long series of combos, but he'll find his moments. Should be an entertaining fight. Thai style versus the Dutch style for people who like that sort of thing. I just think that they're just two solid competitors and they're going to put on a good show. Sari Glunder takes on Zakaria Zoghari and the fight that I'm most excited to see. Of course, Zoghari, we've mentioned before, he is one of the better fighters in the world. Really built a good resume for himself by fighting in shootboxing. He was in a tournament and he pretty much won the tournament. And then they called for an extra round and then he took a down late in the fourth. And then they gave it to the other fighter, name eludes me at the time. But Zoghari then came back to reclaim that title a couple years later. One of the funnest fighters you're ever going to see. He's going to throw volume, combination kicks. Sometimes his decision-making is the thing that throws people off a little bit. I thought that he had Elias Blade defeated. And Elias Blade also fighting on that infusion card. So I forgot to mention he's fighting this weekend too. Elias Blade competing this weekend. My fault for forgetting that name. Definitely check out Elias Blade as he does his thing. Elias Blade, one of the best featherweights on the planet, had a really good run in the K-1 World Grand Prix where he lost to Cao, and there's no shame in there losing to Cao Fairtex. Really good stuff there. But him and Zoghari put on a really entertaining fight, and the difference in the fight, I thought, was Zoghari suddenly started doing a bunch of jumping, spinning stuff, and while he was doing that, Blade stayed with the steady combo work, and he was able to get a decision. Zoghari is very, very talented, really good combination to kick, low kick flow. Masari Glunder, very strong for the weight class, down to fight anybody. Really tough guy who will find his power shots, and if you earmuff up, he'll find the jumping knee, he'll find the explosive offense. Really good style matchup. You know, Glunder, of course, repping Mike's gym. Zoghari, very, very talented guy. This is what you want from high-level kickboxing. Both very good guys, and neither of them style-wise are the same. They are not the same fighter. Just because they're both from Holland doesn't mean that all the styles are the same. Very important for people to know that. Glunder going to put on a good show. Zoghari going to put on a good show. Different styles. Everybody enjoy that one. Middleweight Jason Wilnes will take on Yusri Bulgari. Bulgari, of course, he's won a four-man tournament. He's coming off a four-man tournament win. And where he had one of the Colette knockout was just, different name popped in my head, please forgive. The tournament he won was over Agron Pertini, who's a solid fighter, and then he beat Alex Pereira, who is a good name to have on your resume, because Alex is competing for the title, of course. Very, very good, very talented. He's got a win over Israel Adesanya, Alex does. He was losing the fight, but he got a stoppage in the third. So for that, when that tournament was made, I did not pick in any way Bulgari to win it. But here we are. He wins the tournament. He's going to go against Wilnes, kind of position himself to go against the winner of the championship. He said that he felt like Simon Marcus is ducking him. I'm not going to go that far, but I do understand the frustration of winning a four-man tournament and expecting to be next and not getting that opportunity because he won a good four-man tournament. So Jason Wilnes, steady, strong kickboxer, once the best fighter in the world, loses a decision in one of the most grueling wars you're ever going to see in kickboxing. Him and Simon Marcus are just going at it. Like, you look at this fight and it reminds you of how tough kickboxing is. How of the term we use is hard. Gago Drago said it best. Sometimes when he'd be in fights, they'd be like, who do you think is going to win? Drago would be like, I'm going to win because I'm harder than he is. And that's just the ability to take and keep going. And that fight Wilnes had with Simon Marcus was one of those fights where you're like, man, these guys are hard. These guys are tough, hard fighters. Wilnes loses a very, very close fight there. But he's back at it. Very tough guy. Him and his strong combos, finds his low kicks. He will meet Bulgaro, who, same thing. Garo really does score from a distance well when he plays it. Has got good combination flow when he plays it. Boxing solid, savvy with his defense. It's going to be a good fight. Really looking forward to that one. Michael Duke takes on Dragos Zoko. Michael Duke, of course, we've talked about him many times. It's just about kind of what version of him shows up. That's what it seems like at times. There are times when you get the guy who goes against Daniel Younga, and that's like, this guy ain't going to lose to anybody. And then there are times when you look at the first time he went against Daniel Younga, where it's like mentally it seemed like he checked out when things didn't go his way early. Dude's not bad, and he keeps getting opportunities, and he gets another one here. He's going to have his hands full with Zuko, who's got a really funky style. Moves really weird, scores straight, and then all of a sudden he's wide. Then he'll fall into the clinch, and they'll get separation. He'll do a combo with a wide body kick on the end. It's like, it's really hard to get a read on what he's trying to do consistently. But he's good, man. He's a talented, talented guy. I'm curious to see what happens to him down the road. Man, he's a talent. He should be a lot of fun to watch when he's in space. If he gets into the clinch, gets the fall in, if both guys get frustrated, style-wise, this could be one of the uglier ones. But Zuko, talented guy. He's got some really, really good wins. When I looked him up, I was like, man, there's a lot of fights. Like, I'd seen him a couple times. And what was it? Was it Thai Fight Mania or one of those? I can't remember. He fought for a promotion several times that had the most fights for him. But he's very talented. Just weird. Just weird. Finds strange offense. But kudos to him for getting in here, going against Duke. Duke trying to put it together, trying to get himself back to the guy who dropped Tyrone Spong that one time, you know. So Duke brings his style. He can do combination low kick when he wants to, but really he tends to box strong more than look for single kicks. So we'll see how this fight works out. Imad Haddar is a talented guy. I'm glad that he's back in this tournament. He can throw heat. He's a good, strong kid. He's going against Manny Mancha. Mancha, American guy who's really, the kickboxing technique on a consistent level hasn't been seen yet in his fights. But what has been seen yet in his fights is Manny Mancha will freaking kill you. Like, he throws heat. He's going to throw bombs. He gets his opportunity. He doesn't care if it's straight or if it's wide. Manny Mancha is trying to get you out of there. Him and Haddar should put on a pretty good fight. And the winner matches up well with whoever they have in the other tournament. Because if it's Dude, both Haddar and Mancha can bring kind of that KO pop to make it an exciting fight. If it's Zupka, because they come with the aggression, if Zupka's out of position a little bit, maybe they can score the big offense. But if they're looking for just big, you know, offense themselves, they're going to neglect their defense. And Dragos Zupka has got the ability to find them in spots. So, should be good. Two fights left to talk about. Hezzy Higgins as he takes on Vladan Brestovac. Brestovac's been doing this for a long time. Like, he's a good, steady kickboxer. He fought for the title. He lost a good, you know, hard-fought contest against Rico Verheeven, the champ. The problem with it was he relied too much on his sneaky head kick, which is awesome. But he wasn't able to find it. And because of it, the consistency of Verheeven's work was able to win the round. And at the end, I think it was 50-45 on all cards. Brestovac never really getting his moment. Hezzy Higgins is going to try to do the same. He's a combination low kicker. Very steady, very long. He's got KO pop against middle to lower level. Against the higher level guys, I haven't seen it. But he has steady kickboxing flow against everybody. Even when he fought Sami Silk, you saw steady kickboxing flow. So Hezzy Higgins going to go out there and try to be that same guy. Mladen Brestovic can really play with his straight left. He's got a sneaky snap knee, but really just the suddenness of how he gets that head kick up there. It's something to see. Mladen Brestovic, Hezzy Higgins should be a good one. We finish this with Robin van Roosmalen as he goes against here, Ademchuk, and Ademchuk, of course, both of these guys have been in the title picture for a little bit. We have, you know, the victory, it was kind of a strange situation, but Robin van Roosmalen was the title holder. He lost it on the scale because he, and again, to his credit, and he said it really well on the K1 Anoop, so he's never missed weight ever in his career. So he just miscalculated with the scale, and I'm not saying that it was tough or easy or not making excuses for him, but it clearly is a sign of his, you know, genuineness. If you look at his history and you realize, you know what, he's right, he didn't miss. So he goes down there thinking that he's on weight, and then they strip him of the title and he fights and he wins anyways. So after that, he is, you know, pretty much bringing the fight back up. You know, he's kind of coming in as, assuming he wins the championship, trying to remember, just a quick, come think about it. Against Pat Pomeranz. That's who he won the title against. I was trying to remember which tie it was. So he won the title back against him after losing it to Matt Embry, if I remember correctly. Lost it to Matt Embry in Los Angeles, and then he won the title back in Holland. So now here we are with him competing again. And because styles make fights, this one's really going to work out well. See, here Ademchuk is really a guy who showed the most aggression I'd ever seen him show in his life when he went against Dylan Salvador in his last one. But he does a great job of fighting well when you are aggressive, because he plays the counter, he's got a good body kick, he can do, I like his power leg to the back rear leg, he does a lot of good stuff. Robin van Roosmalen, of course, going to bite down in the mouthpiece, going to block and throw, combinations to low kicks, really mix the boxing combos up. It's really a good style matchup. It brings out the best of both, because Robin's got to go get his work, and Sierra Ademchuk's got to find the moment for his timing, or else he'll be in trouble. So, should be a good fight, should be a good show. I'm excited to see that one go down. Everybody check that one out. It's going to be on Fight Pass, and then it's going to be on ESPN3 here in the States, and then, of course, they'll replay it on a later time. But, man, excited to sit down and give you guys some kickboxing action. I'll come back with the results next week. And then the series that I talked about when I just talk about just kind of things in the social fabric of kickboxing, I will do my best to talk about those in moments and bring those up. So really, really excited about what's going on in the kickboxing world, my role in it, and I'm excited for every fan that comes and listens to this podcast. Thank you for your time. God bless and have a good one. Peace.